Welcome to the Eden Gathering podcast. Once again, we are so grateful to have you with us. Still tuning in after, we've been going for more than a year now. Really appreciate you being on the other end of this microphone in your car or in bed or wherever you tend to listen to my very tiring voice. We appreciate you being here. And I'm here with two guests. We've got double trouble in the studio today. they're laughing. So... the guest to my right is Nathan. Yeah, introduce yourself.
Nathan.
You're Nathan, great.
Yeah.
And
I'm Liam Rutter, who is doing a charity with Nathan.
Doing a charity with Nathan that will come on to a bit in a second. So, Nathan.
Yo.
I think you're a bit of a Forge celebrity.
Thanks.
I think you are. You've got one of my favourite stories of all time. So it's great to have you on. Thanks for coming and getting into the middle of nowhere in the middle of Suffolk and coming to speak to us. So talk to us a bit about where to begin. Where should we start? Where'd you grow up?
Maidstone.
I'm going to need more than one word answers from you.
I was going to get all biblical in the beginning.
In the beginning.
There was light. And then there was Nathan. No, Maidstone. I was born and bred, I think, in Maidstone.
Yeah.
So I grew up in Maidstone.
Yeah. And so you ended up getting into church shortly after I came along to the Forge, actually.
Yeah.
So what, 2 years ago?
It would be 2 years in July, the first time I went to church.
Talk to me about give me a really brief summary of where your life had got to before you got involved with the Forge.
Before I went to the Forge, I was suicide. I wanted to die.
Mm.
You know, I had a bad upbringing and then I've been around some really bad and naughty things. And for that, I moved up to Norwich. That didn't work. Moved to Ipswich, breakdown in marriage, found myself in Needham. And I just tried drinking myself to death. Then I found, my mate told me about Alpha and he said it was nothing to do with Christians, as everyone knows. And then I went to this Alpha and realising it was everyone that was a Christian. And that's how I met Helen Bolton and Steve Fennin. And then
some of the Forge guys.
I thought I was Amy Van Holland. I thought I was going to turn her back to the dark side, but it didn't work. They was drawing me back in. And
brilliant.
Yeah, we started, I think, in March, April. And then come July, I decided to go to church for the first time. And that was pretty nuts.
Yeah. But yeah. What was it like walking into church for the first time?
I don't know. I was at the back with Steve. I just didn't feel comfortable.
No.
No, it's full on. For me, that was full on. And the Forge ain't full on.
But
at that time, it was full on, compared to other churches. But yeah, it was full on. But I went back again and I went back again.
So just take a step back then. So how did you get the invite to Alpha?
Alan Salmon, he goes to the Forge.
Right.
He invited me along to this thing called Alpha because I was depressed, anxiety. Yeah. I mean, I was bad. I was really bad.
Yeah, and drink was a real problem, right?
Yeah, drink's always been a problem and drugs and stuff. But when I moved to Norwich, I stopped the drinking. I stopped the criminal activity I used to live. But I just couldn't stop drinking. And then it went on and relationships.
So you wanted to change
your life? Yeah, of course I did. I was drinking was bad, really bad. I just tried drinking myself to death. I lost 5 stone in 3 months.
Wow.
Didn't want to live no more. I remember the first time I met you and I was having that breakfast and that, and I remember shaking so much. I was trying to hide it and that, but everyone knew.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was horrible.
But
God's good.
Yeah, I'm glad that you kind of still stuck around. You didn't, shy away.
It was because of Steve, really. Steve and Janet, they just got round me. And
people from the Forge, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then I made good friends with Helen.
Yeah.
And it was just like, all of a sudden you start making these friends and then they're just good friends.
So how did you find Alpha then? Because Alpha's such a key way of getting people.
Alpha is amazing. I love Alpha so much. Every time I've done an Alpha, I've got something out of it.
But what was your impression the first week?
The first week, It was just difficult.
So, how, you know,
when you walk into a folk room thinking it's not going to be no Christians because I was pretty anti-Christian and then everyone's a Christian, you know?
Yeah.
It was just, but I went back because I thought, oh, I'm going to mess things up.
Mm. So you went with kind of an agenda.
Yeah, of course I did.
To be like the, so you thought Christians were idiots?
I just, yeah.
A lot of Christians are idiots.
Was it, when you grow in faith...
Yeah. He was laughing at that one.
Yeah, no. Yes, I ain't going to go down that route. But yes, when you like, you do your journey, but then you can look back and actually think, no, actually, you did know God because you was angry with God. But when you do the beginning, you don't think like that.
Yeah, so you had no experience of faith.
No,
a God that you did know you were angry at.
I think I did when I was younger, but then because of certain things that have happened to me, I went against it.
Yeah.
You know, when bad things happen to you, you just go anti.
Mm.
And I think that's what it was, really. But I did never expect to be walking into an Alpha. But the Alpha was good, and I'm glad everyone was in there, a Christian, because if it wasn't, if I went, the second Alpha I'd done with Steve, I tell you, if it was me the first time, and I went to that second one, I would have manipulated that to bits, yeah. Because there's a lot of not Christians, so I would have had a right laugh there.
Yeah.
But because I went in that front room with Helen and... Yeah. All the rest of the Forge crew. I didn't really have much chance, did I?
Yeah. So then what did it take to get you to church that first Sunday?
I think...
Did you just get, oh, come on, you get a free breakfast and a free
No,
free
it was
lunch,
never or? About free things. You know, it was never, even that Alpha, you got two beers. I'm an alcoholic. Well, I don't believe in calling myself an alcoholic anymore, but when you're a drinker, two beers is nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not big beers. So it wasn't because of the drink, and it wasn't because of food, because I didn't eat.
Mm.
So I don't know. Something just drawed me back to it.
I think that was God calling you.
Of course it was. Mm. It was all part of a journey, you know, and I know that now, you know, but I didn't know it then.
Yeah. So then you completed Alpha all the way and then came to church, or did you start
I think it was July, the week after my birthday. I know why it was after my birthday, but I can't say honest, but I thought, no, I'll go to church after my birthday.
Okay.
But then I'd done a week, the week after my birthday, I went the first time, and then I went the second, and then the third time, that's when it really touched me.
Yeah.
But I was still doing things I shouldn't be doing.
So your lifestyle wasn't what you'd want it to
be. It was changing, you know? I spent my Saturday afternoon playing croquet. That's not normal for me.
No, that's not normal for me.
You get me? So no, it wasn't normal, but it was, life was changing and I started experiencing things.
So what changed on that third Sunday? How did you experience
it? It was that song, Do It Again, and you sung it. I'm not letting you take, give God the glory.
I'm taking that one.
But he used me.
No,
it was that song, Do It Again, and it just, it just done me. I don't know. It was Steve's. I can't remember what Steve was speaking about, but it was good.
Yeah, but you remember the worship. Yeah, which I think is really key.
No, you wanna,
for our listeners to remember.
So it was just one of those Sundays, and I remember going home with Helen, and I just flipping it. Went home and I cried, and I didn't want to, like, I mean, I was drinking still, and I was just proper crying, man. Diluting my beer. It was just a waste, really.
At that time,
crying into my beer.
Yeah. So would you say that that's when you made a commitment, or was it a way off from that?
I think that was God touching me. There was a lot of things that was coming up around me, but I was still pushing it away. I would say, yeah, God was all over me and I got baptised, but I wouldn't say I was a proper Christian, not until I'd done Teen Challenge.
So let's talk about, you then decided to go to rehab.
Yeah.
In what time?
December.
And you said, before I go to rehab, I want to get baptised.
Yeah, no, we was coming back from TC and I said, I think it's time to jump in the paddling pool.
And what time of year was that?
That was freezing cold, 3rd of December.
It was very, 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 very cold. Yeah. I mean, I think we was just outside watching, because in our church we have this kind of little outdoor kind of paddling. It's essentially a paddling pool, isn't it? We don't. I mean, we've got this little heater for it, but you'll be testimony that don't really work, does it?
No.
Don't really make much difference.
There was no hot water. It was cold.
Yeah, we did ice skating on it afterwards, actually.
Yeah, did you? But,
no.
It was funny how it all worked out, though, because I thought to myself, a quick dip in a puddle and then off I go to TC.
Yeah.
And then we booked it for that Sunday. And then I got the phone call on Thursday. So look, can you come to TC on Monday? So it was literally, I got the call, gave up my job, gave up my flat, quickly got dunked, stayed at Steve's house, and off I went on Monday.
Yeah. So the decision to go to Team Challenge, TT as you call it, was that something that you wanted to do?
It's because I love my kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's a hard place to get to. So for those that don't know what it is, it's proper rigorous, isn't it? It's full on. Talk to us a bit about what it is.
TC, it's
no small thing to decide to check yourself in there.
I don't want to bad mouth the players because it's a place of love. But it is like...
flipping hard.
Flipping hard, yeah. Flippity hard. It's like jail, army, / Bible college.
Right. I like it.
And that's what it's like, oh. And everything from when you wake up until you go to bed, it's everything scripture. It's all worship. You go to church 398 times in the space of 10 months. Everyone in there is a pastor.
Yeah.
You know, from it's
and it goes from...
Everyone in there is either jail or streets. They're off the streets or they're from jail.
And the addicted to stuff.
Yeah, they all got drugs problems. Yeah. But to be fair, I wouldn't... Yeah, they go in there with an addiction, but the addiction's not their problem.
Right.
You know, the 4 weeks you're in there, you do your first 4 weeks as the induction, that's when you do your rattle. Mm-hmm. So you're either coming off the drink, you're coming off the gear, or you're coming off crack.
Yeah.
But then after then, it's like, then you're in the program. And that's when you actually do you.
Work. But in terms of what that meant for you, that meant no contact with even your kids, was it?
For the first month. And then I get to have 2 phone calls each way and then a Skype call. But then you have your first visit 6 weeks.
And I remember you writing us letters because that was kind of the best way to
You could
stay in touch.
But that didn't last long because there was too many letters.
Yeah.
That was because of that video. You want to see how many postcards I got for that video?
Alex making a video, yeah.
Yeah, you want to take the, you can take the worship, you can take the video. Honestly, I got cards from Africa, from New Zealand, from Australia. Wow. So many people. It blew me away.
That's incredible.
And
I never knew that.
Yeah, yeah, I've got them all at home. It just, literally my whole thing was just plastered in cards. But I couldn't write back, so I started saying, look, I ain't got enough stamps. You know, everyone's just started sending me stamps. So then I just had to say, I just can't write.
Yeah.
Because when you're in a program, you're busy. You're busy. From when you wake up until you go to bed, you're busy.
I guess they have to keep you constantly.
Yeah, the longer the program, the more you go into it, the harder it becomes.
And how close were you to quitting?
Quitting
the program.
I got to the end of phase one, and I had my last in-visit of my kids, like when I was in there, because you get 3 hours each month.
So they've come and visit you?
For 3 hours. And that was just Helen again and Steve and everyone bringing them out and Janet Watson, brilliant people. I got my last in visit and then my boy just looked at me and said, Dad, you look brand new. And I just, that did me.
Yeah.
And that was hard. And then other things were going on, like a lot of anniversaries, people thinking a lot of stuff. I just thought to myself, I want to go home.
Yeah.
But
because you felt like you'd done it?
It wasn't because of that. Yeah. I just love my kids. I just forgot. You forget, like, I didn't cry for 4 months. I was just angry and cold. But that really did me. And I was sitting at the table with the boys and I just started crying. It just done me. But I waited to go home and then Steve was like, leave for a couple of days. And then, I went to this chapel and this chapel was the reason why I'm sat here now.
Go on.
It was just like the chapel. I was sat there and I wanted to go home. And then I remember getting prayed on and by Sammy Miller, Pastor Sammy. Right. And then that was it. And then I just saw this vision of me and around this homeless guy and me standing on a stage and I keep hearing, go out and save my people, save your friends. But you got to give all this away to me. You got to give all this anger away and that. And then I came to and I thought, flipping it, what the hell's going on? I thought I was nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought I was losing it.
You turned into one of these crazy Christians, didn't you?
Yeah. But even then I remember sitting at a table that night with Sammy Miller and I said to my guy, do you believe in vision? He just laughed at me. But he got baptized with the Holy Spirit at the same time.
Wow.
But he just led me on for a little while with it. But and at some moment I can always share with Sammy and he'll tell you the same story. But even then, I knew straight away what I had to do. I knew what I was going to do, but phase two was my hardest part of my program. Mm. And I really struggled with that because it wasn't the program. The program was easy. You get up, you're told what to do. It's just the emotional side behind closed doors.
Right.
You know, and it was hard again. And then I had to deal with a lot of stuff that I've never really spoke about.
Mm.
And that was hard.
Just the more what's from in the past and all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bringing up the, yeah, the real core
if,
of the
if
issues.
You grow up, yeah, and you've had like, I tell you, if it's just hard. If you grow up thinking bad things and you've seen your closest pals die and you've been around some really awful things and you've done some really horrible things and you've gone through sexual abuse and you find out like you're a rape child and that's why your mum always looked at you funny. And I mean, the whole most horrible things. And then you grow to hate yourself. And then we've done this teaching about loving and accepting yourself. I remember talking about the forge.
Mm.
And now you can love and accept yourself when you're that person.
Mm.
Did God really love me? And again, at 3 months down the line, I was in chapel again, and this time I really was baptised in the Holy Spirit, and then I became one of those weirdos speaking gobbledygook.
Right.
And I couldn't get out of it then.
Yeah, yeah.
And I tell you, I'm not the kind of guy who just jump up the floor and start doing roly-polies, because that ain't me.
Wow.
And that afternoon, I just met Brian Sinnott, and I just gave it all to God. And I was back on with his vision, and then I came back 2 weeks later. I said, Steve, I want to borrow your church. And he said, yeah. And then five weeks after that, I was at the Forge.
And talk to me. I remember that Sunday and what you did on that Sunday.
Yeah.
So clearly. Talk to us about what you did.
I turned up. Yeah. Well, God turned up.
Yeah.
No, it was just bringing peace. I wanted to open people's eyes.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, I always look at every day, I think a life, God's going to allow me to save a life.
Mm.
Only God can, only Jesus can.
And that's your story for
yeah,
his
use that story.
Thing, yeah.
I remember walking around this car park with my boy Matthew, and I was thinking, how can I do this? And 3 months before then, I tracked down my social services records of that from a baby to 18 years of age.
Mm.
And that also
would have. You had no idea who Dad was.
No. I've got a dad that I was brought up with and brought me up, but we didn't have the best upbringings. He was always in and out of jail, and I loved him to bits. But it was hard. You know what I mean? He's a raging alcoholic, and he openly admit that. And he had these problems. But no, I thought that's what, when you do like this thing, you want to know who is your real father.
Yeah. What? Who am I? It's more about who you are than.
Yeah. Find out what it's all about.
Yeah.
And that's because that of loving and accepting yourself.
Mm.
But then I thought to myself, I know who my real father is. Mm. And that's him, God. So for me, that's just going to unsettle so many others. I'm going to find out so much more stuff. Why do that? Why don't, sometimes you've got to make sacrifices.
Mm.
You've got to get rid of the dead. And that's the dead. Yeah. And then on the stage, I ripped it up. People keep asking me, do you regret it? And I don't.
It was one of the most powerful things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
It could have been a stupid decision, but it was flipping powerful at the time. Well, some people will say it was, wouldn't they? People will have their opinion. But just to set the scene, so we've had people from Teen Challenge up on the stage, three stories, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then you came up last and just kind of shared an update of where, because we've kind of been monitoring your progress this whole time. And I remember you just sharing what you'd shared and you pull out this thick envelope, wasn't it?
Thick
sealed envelope. And you said something like, this is
my 18 years of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just said exactly what you just said. You said, but I need to know.
No.
I know who my father is. And you ripped it up. Yeah. 200 people in the room got on their feet.
I know.
Tears streaming down their face and applauding. It was just one of the most powerful moments.
Yeah.
The most powerful moment I've had at the Forge, for sure.
Thanks.
So thanks for what you've brought really to us and for all that you've done.
Yeah.
Because
Forge have done a lot for me and all.
It's been an incredible
journey.
Incredible journey. So I know that's like such a snapshot. I mean, we've just spoke about a lot of years in a very short amount of time. But now you're doing something different. You're not at the Forge.
No, I'm not at the Forge, but I'm still part of the Forge.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Forge is still a part of me. So I came back and, like, I've got to talk about Grimsby. When I was 2 weeks before I was going to leave to come back, and I thought I was going to get home early because the kids, but they decided to stick me up Grimsby. I wasn't happy about it, but I went up there, and then me and my brother Andrew, we was up there and we was praying, and we thought, right, we've got to go to this Alpha yet again. And we ended up going to this Alpha, and this Alpha led us to this food bank. And because of this food bank, we turned this food bank into some referral unit, and we started running around Grimsby trying to get people off the streets into programs and that.
Wow.
And it was God just giving me a good kick up the backside.
Backside.
And he was like, no, this is where I want you, Nathan.
Yeah.
And I remember going back, and I got a good telling off from Anita saying, what are you doing? You're meant to be up there looking after property. Why are you doing what you're doing? And I was really upset. And I thought, could I really do this? Because it's hard what I do. It's hard, isn't it? What we do, it's hard. And then I remember coming back with Steve. I was coming back for a week just to see if I could get work and stuff. And I had the kids at the weekend, and I got on the bus, got back into Ipswich. And the first person I spoke to was a guy called Hoddle. And it was just, God just put me straight back in it.
Yeah. So what are you doing?
What now? What are we doing, Liam?
So over to me now. Okay, so I'm not as much involved as Nathan is at the moment because of work commitments, and hopefully in a couple of months' time, I'll be more involved. So the short story of is Nathan's told you about his heart for the homeless. So what Nathan does at the moment is maybe 2 or 3 days a week, he'll walk around the town, he'll befriend people.
It's in Ipswich, yeah?
In Ipswich, yeah. He'll befriend guys, and this is very important. He walks with them constantly. So week after week, he's meeting the same people, building relationship, and just getting by them, because there's no point getting by someone for 1 hour and then leaving them for the next month, because they might not be there. Nathan's really got his heart, he's in the right place. So he'll just do that. He'll also take them to churches. He's currently at the Hope Church in Ipswich, where he fellowships. So he'll
I'm very rarely there. I'm never there.
Really?
But he'll take guys there to try and get them of the church experience.
Yeah.
And even that's not even easy, as we've felt in the last couple of weeks. There's been challenges there.
Yeah.
But it's important that these guys get integrated and know that churches is not for a certain individual, it's for all people, especially people with addictions and homelessness. So that's basically what Nathan's doing at the moment. My involvement really is, in a couple of months' time, to join Nathan, and so we can do this together.
Yeah.
And walk with people.
Yeah. So how do you two know each other? What's your story?
I met Liam through Chris Burlington. I basically, when I came back, I ran around all these churches and I was chasing all these leaders down. And then so and Chris is the guy that deals with, is it the Thief on the Street, innit?
Yeah, so Nathan never mentioned, but there's 5 churches involved in this charity for financial support, and obviously when people come to be placed in the church. So I heard about this from Chris. He said there was an evening in December about what was going on. This charity's starting up. It's gone through so many names since. It wasn't Route to Freedom originally.
It's been about every name in the book.
Really?
Me and Steve sat there for hours trying to think of a name.
So I got on to this meeting, and I just, as soon as I went into that meeting and I saw, and I thought, this is it. My short story really is I become a Christian in 2012.
Yeah.
Different experience than Nathan. I was in trouble from the age of 12, fighting, violence, drinking, all that stuff that comes with it. Had a radical encounter with Christ in 2012. After 9 months, just got stuck into the Bible. My life completely turned.
Sorry, can I pause?
Yeah, yeah.
I want to hear about what you have described as a radical encounter.
Okay.
I want to hear about stuff like that. That stuff really excites me.
Okay, so a bit like Nathan with the Forge, I was journeyed by a little brethren church in Ipswich. Mm. They invited me to Christianity Explored, which is like,
this is like Alpha,
which is like an Alpha. And I wanted to cause trouble, you know. I wanted to see what these people were about, and I wanted to give them some really hard questions. That's what I did for weeks on end. I liked to go for the food. That was a good thing. Like Nathan said, he went for free, but I thought, I'm going to get a good meal here.
Yeah.
But as the weeks go on, these people just talking about Christ, his sacrifice, dying for all people. And I'm like, you know, bearing in mind before this, my wife got hit by a drunk driver in 2012 in February. I had revenge in my heart.
Yeah.
I was gunning for the driver. I was planning to kill him. I was planning to harm him. And God grabbed me right at the right time to prevent me from going to prison.
Yeah.
what good would that be of leaving my wife who has multiple injuries? I had 2 kids at the time. So God grabbed me at the right time. I was introduced to this Christianic sport course by my sister-in-law, went along. And one of the most changing moments was we had they had a guy come and preach, and you might know his name, Tony Anthony.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a Kung Fu guy. He come and preach at this church. And I was just convicted by what he was saying for the whole service. And I went and spoke to my wife and I said, look, you know, thank you for what you brought. And it's like, this guy knew something about me. He said, I want you to sit down, okay? So he sat me down. My wife's sitting next to me. My wife is crying her eyes out, knowing that this is the moment I need to make, whether
this is it,
or I carry on doing.
Where was this?
This was at a little brethren church in Ipswich called Ashcroft Christian Fellowship.
Yeah.
And he basically just told me in a short sentence, and I wouldn't recommend this with every Christian to talk to people who are not believers, but he said, if you don't change, you're going to hell. You're going to hell and you're going to perish. And I was like, man.
Not my approach.
No. He's pretty bold. But
heard that at the Forge,
Nathan? No, none has mentioned the second death. I was going to mention it on the stage with Steve Tully. I couldn't mention the second death.
So, yeah, and it was so impacting that for 2 days I spoke to nobody.
Yeah,
I was rocked. I was convicted. And it still took me about a year and a half to come to Christ after that. Yeah. So at work...
It's a journey, isn't it?
It is a journey. And I'll just quickly finish off how I become a Christian.
Mm.
So I had holiday off work. I was refreshed. I'm a courier, as you can see by my shirt. And
the people at home can't see.
So no.
Got a little Parcel Force shirt
Parcel
on.
Force.
Plug?
Yeah. So one of the guys who was covering me let me down. Basically, he gave me loads of work. I was angry. Mm. I went for him, confronted him. Management trying to pull me off, trying to get me out of there. I go and get my gear for the day, my paperwork and my scanner, jump in the van. And as soon as I get in the van, I can't describe what happened to me. I just had a powerful encounter and I felt like a voice said, I'm going to change you. I'm going to use you. And I was like, I was scared.
Yeah.
I wasn't fearful much before, but I really do understand the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
And I felt the fear of the Lord. What I done next was the confirmation of this. So I went up to the guy who thought we were going to have round two with tears running down my eyes. And I just shook his hand. I said, I'm sorry. And I just gave my life to Christ right then and then. The van repented for my sin.
Oh, my goodness.
And 9 months after becoming a Christian, just getting into the Word, gave up drinking, gave up fighting, gave up everything.
That's amazing.
And now I'm an evangelist for Christ. I've been reaching out to guys on the streets. This is where Nathan comes in. Just been, and one of my biggest passions is prison ministry.
Right.
I've been going in prison ministry now for 5 years.
Yeah.
I've been to 2 prisons in the UK so far, but this year I'm going to another 3. Just basically sharing the same heart as Nathan.
Yeah.
Just giving guys hope when they come out, getting them in good communities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they don't have to go and reoffend. And that's basically where me and Nathan have got stuff in common, because we both have a heart for the same thing. I believe that God has placed us to be together because it's perfect timing. Mm. And I'm really looking forward to what God's going to do for us. It's not going to be easy. I mean, with a Christian walk, sacrifice, but we've got to be obedient to the Lord. And,
and
that's why me and Nathan are really excited about doing this route to freedom,
yeah. It's not easy, and it's hard. And I mean, when I say it's hard, you see a lot. You can say, oh yeah, the baptism, seeing people come to faith, it's amazing. Seeing churches fill up, and that's amazing. You know what I mean? It's all about bringing people to Jesus. But you see a lot of hurt, you see a lot of pain, you see a lot of death.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, on a regular basis, on a daily basis, my typical day is crack addict, heroin addict, murderer, thief. It's just, that's a daily routine.
Yeah.
And you love them.
Sounds a bit like Jesus's routine, mate.
Yeah.
And it does.
Exactly how it should be.
Yeah.
You know, and I went to another Alpha, and I remember sitting at this table, and there was alcoholic, crack addict, heroin addict, and a murderer all sat at one table. And I thought, praise God, this is exactly how we want it. Next thing, street Alpha. Alpha is amazing.
Mm.
And like, what, it's not just about people in addictions, it's about anyone.
Mm.
Like, when was the last time? When was the last time you reached out to someone?
What do you mean?
Like, when did you reach out? When was the last time you reached out to someone?
To what? Tell them about church or to ask for help or what?
Church and stuff like that.
Well, I've got to think.
Yeah.
Not today.
This should be a daily thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, every week I guarantee I'll take someone to church.
Yeah.
Not usually for the first time. You know Amazing. What I mean? And it's not I'm doing it. Jesus lets me do it.
Yeah. Oh, God, but you're positioning yourself. You're being obedient. Yeah.
And that's what we should have in our hearts. You know what I mean? You know what it's like. You know, it's all about just reaching out to people all the time and loving them. And in scripture it says, what is it? Faith, hope, and love. But really it should be love, then hope, and then they get their faith.
Yeah.
And that's what it is, isn't it? John 1, love. Love everyone.
Yeah.
Love your brothers.
Mate, honestly, just like this first time I spent time with you in a while, and just I still just have that image.
Of that right. Oh,
I just remember you so clearly. And it is like, well, it's being born again, isn't it?
Yeah, into a new life, Romans 6, isn't it?
Yeah, but it is. I'm just taken aback.
Praise God, don't you know what I mean? People make praise God.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
And that's all. We're just servants. You know what I mean? I wouldn't call myself an evangelist. I just say I've got the fear of God.
Yeah, and that's what I've been just having this thing at the moment, and had like a bit of pushback on it. Actually, I'm like, we don't need strategy. We need more revelation of who Jesus is.
Yeah.
We need more encounter with who he is. Mm. We need to know who he is, and that will happen.
Read your scripture. Stop reading all these thousands of different books and actually read the book of books. You know, it's really that simple.
Yeah.
Get to know Jesus.
I'm sure there's a place for everything, but we've got lost.
Yeah.
We've got lost in too much thinking about things, and actually go and tell everyone you know about Jesus.
Yeah.
And then think of the next bit.
But do it out of love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always do it. You know what I mean? Do it out of love. You don't have to go up to someone and start throwing scripture at someone.
Mm.
You know?
No.
They see it through you.
And you know what you needed to hear. You know, like, you know how long your journey was.
Yeah. And I remember the first time I went to church, I basically are mirroring what happened to me.
Mm.
I got picked up. I went to an alpha. And I went to a church with Steve. And I remember Steve, he didn't do no fly catching that day.
Yeah.
He put his hands down the side because he knew how to... And then I went on from that. Then I got brought into this Forge family and they got round me. All I'm doing is picking people up and putting them into families. Yeah.
So how can we support you?
Prayer is always the big one, isn't it?
Mm.
You're really in the thick of it.
Yeah, yeah. And we prayer.
Is there like a good way of like... keeping in touch with prayer stuff? Do you do
there'll be a link. I think we're meant to attach it to whatever you guys do. There'll be a link and you can sign
up. You have no idea what you're doing now, do you? You just sat here. You sat down with a couple of microphones.
I've got middle class people to do this for me. And I'm not talking about the Forge either. I've got my own now. I've got my own treasury. I've got my own. Anyway, we're really, yeah. But there is a link and I will let Sam Fenning sort that out. But no, link to support us. Help to fund us because there's a bigger picture. The first year is to get it up and running. The second year is to adapt. I'm off to Grimsby. I'm hoping some guys can come up with me. We're going to plant the same charity in Grimsby and then find another place to start planting there. And then we really want to get into prisons and gangs.
Yeah,
that is our passion.
I think gangs is...
massive.
Seems to be the one that's come up the most because it's such a problem. And especially with young kids.
Yeah.
How easy it is. I've got a son who's 12 years old and I've got gang culture on my estate and I'm reaching out to youngsters on my estate. And the gang leaders know who I am. There's a risk there.
Yeah.
They know where I live, but I have to be obedient. I can't let people give these kids a choice when there is another way and we know the right way is Christ.
Jesus.
And how are they ever going to see Christ if no one models it, no one shows them?
But we're not after chasing the drug dealers, we're after loving the drug dealers.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
we just want to get, that's where our heart is. We're not, we just want to love these guys because.
Yeah, your goal is to introduce them to Jesus, not to get bums on seats in churches and.
Yeah.
Because if you can grab a gang leader, I mean, look at someone like the Apostle Paul, you know.
Yeah.
From what he did, persecuting his own. You know, his own people.
1 Timothy
12. If you grab a gang leader.
you love that you know all this now, don't you?
I love my scripture.
You love it, yeah.
I can only do it here. I wouldn't do this in the daytime because I'm like, stop it. But yeah, sorry, Liam.
No. You know, it just takes one person to just get touched.
Yeah.
And, you know, all his followers will become followers of Christ. Yes. Because they won't be following his ways, they'll be following the new way.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what we're trying to do, really, just trying to be obedient and being like Christ.
Well, you've inspired me. I'm sure you've inspired many. We've got to shut up now because Liam's got to get off to his ballet lesson. Yeah, so.
Go on, Liam. This is a street guy, you know, goes into prisons every weekend, but goes ballet on
I really appreciate that you've worn your tutu. That's great. Guys, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And we will try and support you any way we can. And we'll put your links up and all that, won't we, Alex? Mm. Alex will sort
that'd
that out.
Fabulous.
And we'll support you in prayer and keep doing what you're doing. You guys are amazing.
Yeah, brilliant.
Just a quick prayer is the most important thing. Mm. Finances will come. But
we want your money.
Prayer is really important. And obviously the transition the next couple of months for myself, just pray that God will start bringing the right people to work
and
with.
Also for the churches, because there's five churches. There's Elam, there's Burlington,
Hope,
there's Greenfinch, and there's the Forge. So prayer for the churches, because without the churches, this wouldn't happen.
That's right.
Great.
And thank you, Forge. You know, you've done a lot for me, guys. And
especially the worship.
Especially the worship and the video. Do you work here full time now? Because like, there's 1,000 videos come on every week.
You know, anyway.
Yeah, sorry.
No worries. Right. That's the end of the podcast. Brilliant. Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
Play the music, Alex.